Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Philosophers have long wrestled with the root cause of evil. One major cause is our enemy Satan, who seeks to destroy in any way he can. Today, a look at how people can be influenced by the devil to perpetrate their deeds. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue our three-part series called Let God Redeem Your Story. Now, Pastor Lutzer comes with part three.
Let God Redeem Your Story, part three. The last two messages I have given have been on sexual abuse and letting God redeem your story. If you didn't hear the messages, they can be, of course, listened to in various ways, CDs and what have you. But even as I was thinking about the series of messages, I realized that maybe we should go a bit deeper. Because those who have all kinds of internal struggles sometimes discover that deep within them there is some other power that keeps them bound and held under the sway of their sin. And that, of course, is Satan and his demons. In a few moments, I'm going to ask you to turn to a passage of Scripture in which we meet a man with an unclean spirit, or more accurately, with hundreds of unclean spirits. And I know that it is an extreme case. Many of you listening might say to yourself, well, this can't refer to me because I'm not inhabited by evil spirits. What you need to understand is that there are people who are still struggling, though, with Satan. In fact, all of us do, even though he doesn't indwell us. He tempts us, he oppresses us, and he does as much damage as he possibly can to ruin our faith. So in one sense, we're all involved. Now, if you ask me the question, well, why did this man have so many unclean spirits? The Bible doesn't tell us. There are ways, of course, that we know that these kinds of things happen. First of all, possibly because of something he had done. If he and his family were involved in occultism and there was a lot of evil in his family in which he participated, that might have given entry to this multitude of evil spirits. That's a possibility. Another possibility is that it was because of something that was done to him. You see, sometimes when people do evil to us, there is almost like a transfer of their powers, however evil those powers may be. Pastor Steve Mason and I counseled a woman. I was actually teaching and giving some instruction to about 20 people who had come forward some time ago when I spoke on the occult, and I was amazed at the number of people who are involved in the occult, and they don't even know it. Ouija boards, horoscopes, witchcraft of various kinds. There are at least 30 or 40 different ways to be in the occult. There was a woman who left the room, and I pointed her out, and I said, don't you leave. You come and sit right at the front. She wanted to leave. Just like some of you, when you're listening to this message, you're going to feel very uncomfortable. I encourage you to not leave, but to stay and to listen. And Pastor Steve and I, as we prayed for her, discovered that she had been sexually assaulted, and as a result of that, trouble with relationships, the whole gamut. And God very wonderfully delivered her from an alien power, and to see her the next Sunday full of joy, and she wrote both of us a letter of appreciation, is to remind ourselves that we are in spiritual warfare no matter what the level may be. Perhaps it's only temptation. Perhaps it is some kind of a stronghold. We sometimes don't know the level, and the good news is we don't need to know in order to seek the Lord's deliverance and understand deliverance. So that's where this message is going. Thanks for being with me on the journey, and I hope that we end at the same time. What I'd like to do is to pray one more time. A message like this is taken very seriously because I can assure you it is known in the spirit world. So let us pray. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that the only Spirit that is present here today may be your Holy Spirit. And I pray against all those powers that would want to disrupt, that would want to distract, that would want to give people rationalizations. I pray that nothing that I say may be harmful, but rather that everything might be edifying, enlightening, and above all, a means of deliverance. But Lord, you have to do it all. I bring nothing to this except my need. Our expectation comes from you alone, because we're in situations where only you can help. There are no other places to turn. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, with that introduction, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, Mark chapter 5, where we have a very interesting story developed. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee, and he ends up, the Bible says, in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, in the area of the Gerasenes. It's Gentile country. If you have a map in your mind, it's on the other side of the Sea of Galilee and encompasses basically the areas today up north. If you go north, you have Syria and then the kingdom of Jordan, and Jesus is there. And you'll notice that when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. We all understand uncleanness, don't we? We've all known what uncleanness is like. If you are in a sexual relationship today with someone who is not your wife or your husband, in a one-man, one-woman committed relationship in marriage, if you have any relationships outside of that, you know what uncleanness is, don't you? If you've ever been into pornography, you know what uncleanness is. If you've been into the occult, we know then what uncleanness is. This is an unclean spirit, and met him out of the tombs, and he lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, he broke the shackles in pieces, no one had the strength to subdue him. Just that far for now. I'm going to answer several questions very quickly about this man, until we begin to talk about our own understanding of deliverance. First of all, we may ask the question is, where did he live? He lived among the tombs. He lived in isolation. Possibly it's because the townspeople wanted him there. They didn't know what to do with him. They bound him with chains that he broke. And so they had him driven off. That's part of the reason. The other part of the reason is that when you are really in this kind of depression, and this is a unique kind with evil spirits, you don't want to be with other people, especially if you're joyful. You want to be isolated. You know, it's interesting that when they do an analysis regarding the shooters in some of our high school rampages, such as the Columbine shooting, they discovered that the shooters were always, what does the news media say? They were loners, brooding over their own grief and over their own problems, and as we shall see, over their own self-perception. So here we have him, he's living among the tombs, and possibly also this was his preference, because when you are that closely associated with unclean spirits, you basically take death with you wherever you go. And so we might imagine that he felt as if I'm living in this depressed, desolate state of mind. I deserve a depressed, desolate place to live. And so he lives among the tombs, picking up on the very mood of his heart in his environment. Another question that we might ask is, how did he act? Well, he acted, of course, obsessed, demented. Notice that the text says they tried to bind him with chains, and they couldn't. He was like a wild man. Now, if you think that this is bizarre, Rebecca and I know a woman who went to a meeting, and there were some false prophets there. Always beware of false prophets, because they may have the wrong spirit. And she went forward and she was prayed for. They laid hands on her. And afterwards, it took policemen to take this small little woman and to be able to subdue her and to take her in for help. And you wonder, where's all this strength coming from? So it can happen today as well. And watch as to who you have lay hands on you. That's the great lesson there. So physical strength. Night and day he is crying, shouting. People wanted to stay away from him, understandably not knowing what to do and not trusting him. Let me ask you this question. If you were to go to him and try to show him love, would he receive it? Of course not. He'd say to himself, I'm unworthy of love. You don't understand. I'm in my own world, and I'm doing here my very own thing. A person like that today would be in a padded cell and, of course, subdued by drugs. I need to say that I don't believe that all people who are mentally ill are demon-possessed. Some of you have disorders for which you are taking medication, which may have a physical base, physical and chemical base, and I encourage you to take that medication, and I'm not one to judge you. I'm not one to judge you. I just know that in some cases, and this is, of course, Exhibit A, there may be a lot of demonic activity involved. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. It's a tragic story, isn't it? This man living among the tombs, crying out hopelessly. The good thing is that Jesus Christ encountered him. And of course, I hope that you continue to listen to Running to Win, because next time we're going to tell the rest of the story of his deliverance, and continuing on with the lessons that all of us should know as it comes to this business of demon possession and their tremendous power that God allows them to have over human beings. But please listen carefully when I tell you this. God has given us authority in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we have power, we have authority. There's a big difference, isn't there? You know, a policeman can stand up in the middle of the street, hold up his hand, and great big huge trucks and cars stop. It's not that the policeman has more power than the vehicles. He just is acting on the basis of authority. And no matter how weak you feel today, the fact is that God in Christ has given us authority. And those demonic spirits that may be haunting you and the struggles and the fears that they have brought into your life, there is victory. But what we must do is to stand and insist on the victory of Jesus Christ as it is applied to our own individual lives. God wants to heal your story. He wants to redeem it. He wants to take you and set you free. And he may do it in different ways, but he will not do it independently of Jesus Christ and the tremendous victory that he won on the cross. The Bible says that Jesus disarmed principalities and powers. Accept that. Thank you so much for your support, for your love, and for your prayers, because we are in a spiritual battle that I believe we can win.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. This series of messages may be life-changing for those caught in the grip of shame. Let God Redeem Your Story can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you call or write, ask about Let God Redeem Your Story. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.